as far as the King James Bible, it may use vocabulary that is elementary school grade, but the grammar and the it's quite stilted. It's not like we're used to talking. Until you get used to reading it, you can get used to it, though. But the point is, it doesn't have the mistakes in it that other versions have, because it descended from the Byzantine text that Paul actually wrote and was copied. Paul and the other writers, Peter and James, John, their writings were protected by those churches there that Paul had established in the Byzantine area. Whereas somebody took some of it, corrupted it, and took it down to Alexandria, Egypt, and made a hexapla, part of a hexapla. But Paul talks about that very thing in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17, that it was corrupted. So it doesn't, you know, the salesman will tell you that. I just could not read it when I first started reading scripture. Oh, that's all right. I'm not pointing at you at all. I'm just talking in general here, that the salesman will tell you that it's easier to understand, and which it is a more flowing type of language, but it does have those mistakes in it. And we showed Mark 1, verse 2 yesterday, and Hebrews 3:16 and 17. God promised that His word is going to be kept pure. It's going to be, He uses the word preserved. And I don't think we showed these verses yesterday, but look what it says. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And that goes way beyond now. Forever, it says. The Lord promised to preserve His words in their purified state, without an error in them. So when you find an error, that's somebody's impression of what the Bible says. That's somebody's freelance translation of what the Bible says. Now, when I say freelance, I'm not saying that King James was an authority. He was a good man, but there are rumors about him that are not true. I mean, they were started, but God said He would keep His word available to us. It'll be preserved. But if you find a book that has the word Bible on the front and it has these mistakes in it, I just listed two, but there are hundreds of them. And there are verses left out. Acts 8:37 is just left out. You know, it goes Acts 8:35, 8:36, 8:38, 8:39. They didn't even change the numbering to cover over it. Now, they did change the numbering to disguise it in 1 John 5 verse 7, where it's very definite or explicit about the deity of Jesus and the Trinity, or the Godhead, I should say. What is your basis for saying that certain verses are left out? Maybe someone added them later. Well, they're not in there. The verse isn't in there. If you look at an NIV, it goes from Acts 8:37 to 8:39. No, Acts 8:36 to 8:38. It's 8:37 that's missing. Later manuscripts added things. That's a presumption, I guess. I don't know. Later manuscripts. You're repeating words that salesmen have told you. we're not worried about that's what I was telling you about, that it Paul in his own writing before 65 AD, or certainly before 70 AD, when he was still writing, he said that they were the Word of God was corrupted already. So going back to 150 or 125, whatever the NIV and NASV try to do, that makes no difference. The corruption was made back in 60 AD or 65 AD when Origen took took it down to Alexandria, the corrupted text. And all these, you know, Westcott and Hort found this text and said, oh, this is more recent. No, they said, oh, it's older. Well, of course it's older. It wasn't copied over and copied and copied and copied like the true translation was copied for us, preserved. That's the way God preserved it to us today. That's why there are no errors in it, because God preserved it. If you're NIV, you can find hundreds of errors, and you know that they're errors because there's at least one self-contradiction, and that's all you need for it to not be pure any longer. And if it's the impure text, well, it's suspect. You know, if there's a verse left out, it's suspect. That's what's suspect, not the version, the King James, that has no errors in it, that you cannot find a self-contradiction in it. So, again, what is our basis for determining such things? No translation is a basis, or else we are only rowing with one oar. I see what you're saying. You're thinking I'm saying that the King James is accurate, so on that basis, the King James is the Word of God, starting with an assumption. No, we're starting with what God promised, that He would keep the Word pure without error in Genesis 12, verses 6 and 7. And in Proverbs 30, verse 5, and many other places in the Bible. But that means if you find a single error, now how do you determine if something's an error? There's one way you can determine it without a lot of scientific, manuscript evidence and all that, is to find out if that translation contradicts itself. If one says, your sins are white, and the other says your sins are black, or one says your sins are white and the other says your sins are not white, you can tell. Now, that's just a hypothetical. It doesn't say either of those. But it says your sins are scarlet, I guess, doesn't it, in Isaiah 1? But I'm trying to show that if there is a direct self-contradiction, it cannot be pure, no matter what its origin is. So you can find that part out just without any manuscript evidence. You can find out, you can look for errors of self-contradiction. And any book with the word Bible on it that has a self-contradiction in it is not that purified word that God promised to preserve forever.